And now back to the studio here in Art Beat. And joining me now is Jackie Jacobs. And she is the spokesperson for the Quileute Nation. And we're going to talk a little bit about their recently filed Quileute Tsunami Protection Legislation, and which is essentially about trying to move the village to somewhere on higher ground so that they're in a bit of a safer zone. But Jackie, first of all, thank you for taking the time today.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Karin, for having me and affording us the opportunity to discuss this very important issue.
So let's kind of frame the issue a little bit for the listeners. What is going on with the tribe? Why do they need to relocate?
Well, the tribe is actually located on a 1 square mile reservation. It is one of the most beautiful, magical places that I've ever seen, but they're also in a tsunami zone. And they're also subjected to annual flooding because they're also bordered by the Quileute River. So if you can imagine 1 square mile, you've got the Pacific Ocean, you've got a river, and then you've got the Olympic National Forest. And in that, on that 1 square mile, Karin, at the lower village, you have a tribal school that is at sea level. You have an elder center. You have tribal offices, and you have people, tribal members, living in homes. So it's essential that they get more land so they can move their people, their facilities to higher ground. It's a safety. It's at the end of the day, it's a safety issue.
Now, traditionally, looking back in history, I'm gonna suggest that the Quileute tribe probably had a lot more land than they do now. Is that correct?
Yes, I think it was the Treaty of 1855 that relegated them to the 1 square mile. But just as indigenous peoples all over North America, the tribe was very nomadic. I think that they actually, while they were in that phase, would go as far as Port Angeles for picking roots and berries. So, you know, indigenous peoples know about the weather. They have an amazing connection with Mother Nature. They know when it is time to get out of harm's way because, again, while it's one of the most beautiful places on Earth, it also has a side where it's very dangerous because of storms. So, yes, to answer your question, they did travel out of harm's way.
And has there been a problem up till now with tsunamis, or is it now due to a change in weather patterns, erosion, things like that?
I think it's a combination of all of that. I think that, you know, they say tsunamis come, what, every 300 to 400 years, and the last one was in the 1700s. And it's not a matter of if a tsunami is going to occur. It's a matter of when, which we were certainly made aware of as a result of the Japanese tragedy. And in addition, this protection, the other component that is extremely important is the flooding component. So in addition to asking for protection from the tsunami dangers, the tribe also is subjected to annual flooding as a result of the river and the change of course of in the river. I hope that answered your question.
Yes, it does. So let's bring in the theme of the Olympic National Park, which of course is integral in making this happen for the Quileute tribe. So what is the issue there? Are we essentially looking at the national park giving up some land, exchanging some land? How does it work?
Well, basically what is happening is the tribe and the tribe has been working this out with the national park for many, many years. The tribe is asking that approximately 785 acres, 220 of which are congressionally designated as wilderness, be transferred to them. There's an additional 184 acres that are non-federal lands that would also be placed in the trust. So let me try to break that down for the listeners. There's 220 wilderness acreage that's not old growth timber. It was previously logged. The bill also calls for 4,000 plus acres of non-wilderness. And most of the land that's being conveyed to the Quileutes is Thunder Field. That's 510 acres. And that can't be developed because it's in a floodplain. But it has enormous cultural and religious significance to the tribe. So because that's surrounded, as I said before, you've got the ocean, you've got the Quileute River, and then you've got the Olympic National Park. So the only place realistically they can go is into the park area. And again, there's been negotiations going on for many, many decades with the tribe and with the park, and they have come to an agreement that both are happy with.
So, Jackie, what exactly is that agreement? So what does ONP get? What do the Quileute Nation get? Is it a win-win situation?
I think it is definitely a win-win situation. Again, the Quileute Tribe and the Park have negotiated, and that negotiation resulted in a fair and balancing of both the parties' interests. You know, the land legislation, it transfers land, but it also gives easements and conservation protections in the legislation. And so I do believe it is a fair balance to both parties. Part of the legislation also gives tourist access to Second Beach, which is on tribal land, and that was a very important and significant component of the legislation.
So let's talk about the legislation, which was introduced by Congressman Norm Dix and Senator Maria Cantwell, and mm-hmm. it's H.R. 1162. Where is it? It's currently sort of working its way through the process, but where has it got to?
Well, thank you for asking. Actually, the chairwoman and members of council just returned from Washington approximately 2 weeks ago, where the United States Senate Commission on Indian Affairs heard the hearings on the bill. There was no objection to the bill, and the Department of Interior also supported the bill. So the next step would be a markup in the Senate on the Senate side, and then we're waiting to hear when the chairwoman will need to go back to Washington for the hearing on the House side. So we are moving this through committee, and then it'll be presented, of course, for the vote.
And then let's assume that it gets passed. What happens next? I mean, it's easier said than done to simply, like, move a whole village.
Well, this is, let's just back up 1 second. While we have these committees to go through, we still have a process to get through for this thing to be passed into law. So it's very important that the listeners understand that this isn't an overnight process. This has been decades and decades of negotiations that is now to the point where we need their support and their help, and calling their legislators, calling congressmen, calling senators, asking them to support the Quileute Tribe Tsunami and Protection legislation. We have to get those votes for this to pass. But right, once that does happen, then there is the process of moving the village to higher ground. That is, of course, a detailed process that's going to take a lot of planning. I know from the chairwoman and the tribal council's perspective that the immediate concern is the children and the elders, so the moving of the tribal school and the elder center is first and foremost on the top of the list, but that will be that's a whole other gamut of considerations.
Now, the tribe has prepared a video that is very informative. Can you talk about that for a minute, and maybe let's give that address out so the listeners can go have a look?
Well, actually, they can't. Well, thank you for bringing that up. When you're thinking about trying to communicate something this important to the community, to the audience, to the world, it's one thing to say Lapush is located on 1 square mile, the children go to school at sea level. It's another thing when you actually see that. And I think that the Japanese tsunami was another example of those visuals being so very important. And prior to the Japanese tsunami, Karen, I wanted to use video as a method to educate the world on the severity of this situation, and Tribal Council was in full support of that. So we did. We developed and produced a 10-minute informational educational video that the listeners can go to www.quileutenation.org. It's right on the front page. You just click, and it's a 9-minute informative video. You can also go to YouTube and type in the Quileute Nation, and we have a YouTube page there where it's visible from there. But it clearly encapsulates all of the concerns that the tribe has. It shows the children playing on their playground is on the beach. We have photos of the flooding that they're able to take a look at, and it gives a bit of historical background on the tribe as well. It also touches on the component that this is a tribe that was thrust into the international spotlight as a result of the twilight phenomenon, but their reality is very different than the Hollywood version of the Quileute.
Okay.
So yes, we encourage all of the listeners to please go and to find out more information, not only to watch the video, but on the front of the website is a link to the actual bill. There's additional press for educational purposes. There's a lot of information. There's an actual map that shows the amount of acreage that is in question and where it is delegated to. So it's quite informative.
Okay. All right. So that's QuileuteNation.org. And the tribe
yes.
could really use your help. I mean, these are our neighbors and our colleagues and our friends and families. So this is the time, I think, for people to step up a little bit with a letter or a call to their senators or legislatures. But my guest has been Jackie Jacobs, spokesperson for the Quileute Nation. And Jackie, thank you for joining me in this very important topic.
Oh, Karen, again, thank you so much on behalf of the Quileute Tribe.
And we will be right back. Stay with me.